Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Are you happy today? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Why don't we give a clap offering for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? We give you all the praise, God. Amen, amen, amen. I wanted to take this opportunity in the service today to officially launch our series for November entitled The Power of Thanksgiving. And to launch this month, I'm going to get a testimony from one of our sisters, one of our African sisters, and her name is Adeline. And I'm going to get Fayida to translate for Adeline. And as they begin to come, I want to begin, as I said, this series with giving thanks. Clearly, we give thanks to God for all that He's done, amen, and for all that He's doing. I also would like to give thanks to God for the new arrival of baby Pippa Waite, the daughter of Mark and Kate. We give you thanks, God, for this beautiful gift in Jesus' name. If you could remain standing, if you're able to, I'd like Adeline to come, our sister.
Okay, my name is Adeline.
Natoka Africa, natoka Congo, lakini nilipandia kutoka Kampala.
She's from Congo, but when she came here, she came from Uganda.
Nashimama hapa kushuhudia makubwa ya Mungu.
She stand here to testify the goodness of God.
Nashuhudia Mungu juu kufika yangu hapa Australia ni miujiza ya Mungu.
For her to be here in Australia, it's a great miracle from God.
Bon, nilipata resettlement mimi na familia yangu mzima, tulikuwa familia ya watu 10.
They are a family of 10 people and they got their resettlement to come in Australia.
Mungu akasaidia msichana wangu Nati akatangulia.
Her firstborn come first, Nati.
Alipanda tarehe 18.
She came here on 18th of
mwezi wa 6
of June.
Kufika hapa Australia.
When she came here,
na sisi tuko na subiria booking juu na sisi tufuate nyuma.
And back in Uganda, they were waiting for their flight to come in Australia.
Tarehe 26 papa balimpatia poison akafariki.
On 26 they give her husband poison and he pass away.
Nani program yangu ikabadilika.
So they have to change the booking.
Ilinipitia ilikuwa vigumu sana.
It was so hard for her in the family.
Ilikuwa vitu kushangaza na kuleta uchungu sana ndani ya moyo.
It was so painful for her and the entire family.
Basi wakati matanga iliisha,
so when they finished the process of the funeral,
nasema ilikutaniwa na sisi wote familia mzima tulikuwa tumepewa poison.
So they found out all the family they already been poisoned.
Lakini sisi walitapikisha.
So they gave them some medicine and they get well.
Wakati ofisi katutoa katupeleka Kampala.
So they moved them from the camp to Kampala in the city center.
Wakaanza kufuatilia nani yetu program yetu.
So they start to follow about their program to come in Australia.
Ilibidi niingie le 13 ku hotel.
She was supposed to come here on 13th.
Sa le 18 tunasi tupande ndege.
So on 18th they supposed to come here.
Lakini shetani akuniachilia, aliendelea kunipiga vita sana.
But the devil still was attacking them.
Ebola ikalamuka tena Congo.
So in Congo they erupt that sickness they call Ebola.
Wakatukamata wakbela wakati wakatupeleka ku hotel.
So they took them where they are living and put them in a hotel.
Kuchunguza kama 21 kama tutapatikana na virusi ya Ebola.
And check them if they have the virus of Ebola. You know Ebola?
It's program ikatokea kama tutapanda le 18.
So they got a program to come here on 18th.
Shetani akainuka tena akatupia mtoto moya ndani varicelle.
So the another child got sick again.
Wakabadilisha tena program.
So they changed the program.
Lakini shetani alishindwa, Mungu alinipigania.
But God was there and the devil was defeated.
22 tukapanda ndege tukafika tulifika hapa 25 hapa Australia mwezi wa 9.
So on 22nd, They bought their flight and come to Australia. So she's here in Australia for 1 month.
Lakini ombi langu niko naomba Mungu kuiona nipeleka.
And her prayer was, God, where you are taking me,
unipatie kanisa yenye itani konsolero yangu.
Please give me a church where I will go and my pain will be taken away.
Mungu alisikia maombi yangu.
And God answered my prayer.
Kufika hapa yenye niko naona sikuazia.
And when she arrived here, she can't believe what she's seeing now.
Sikuwa sifikirie kama wazungu wanaweza changana na Waafrika kuomba hivi.
She could not believe that the white could mix with black people or African.
Mina shukuru Mungu sana. Mungu aliniongoza na kanipatia baba mzuri akanikaribisha.
So God is so faithful and give her a great pastor, a great dad, Pastor Jason.
Mungu awabariki.
God bless you.
Kwa makubwa anaendelea kufanya.
For what is doing?
Basi kwa pesa yenye Centrelink ilikuwa ananipatia.
For the money she's getting from Centrelink.
Niliona itakuwa haitingenitimizia kunisaidia na hao watoto nilibakia nao.
She could not get enough to feed the kids.
Lakini Mungu anaendelea kunipatia wandugu wazungu.
So God has continued to give us some friend and another family from you.
Dada Julienne.
She has a sister called Julian. Julian.
Iko hapa amenisaidia na ameniletea vyombo mnyumba na shukuru Mungu.
She has been a good help for the family.
Dada Sharon.
Another sister Sharon.
Mungu akubariki.
God bless you.
Aendelee kubariki mingi mnanitendea. Unaniletea mavitu mavelo watoto walikuwa wanatembea kwa masomo na kwa miguu.
May the Lord bless you for what you have done in my life.
Mungu endelee kuwabariki.
God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Mungu awabariki sana.
God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Adeline. Thank you, Fayeda. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord. We've just heard a testimony of a great woman of faith who lost her husband. The children have lost their dad about 4 to 5 weeks ago. And it's a powerful thing to what the Lord has done in and through their lives for her to be able to have the grace and the truth and the strength to stand up here to testify and still give thanks to God. That's the power of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verses 1 to 4 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His holy name. The word tells us at the end there to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favor received, especially to God. Other words to describe thanksgiving are praise, gratitude, blessing, grace, and giving credit. Thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks. And in order to offer up thanksgiving, we must first give thanks. Does anyone know what happens when thanksgiving goes up? 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 Heaven comes down. And if you want to change the atmosphere of your relationships, if you want to change the atmosphere of your homes, of your school, of your workplaces, of your circles, then let thanksgiving go up. Because when thanksgiving goes up, heaven comes down. I've got a couple with us today who want to give thanks to God for all the great things that God has done in and through their lives. And I'd like us to give Pete and Deb Walters a great big hand as they come. Let's give them a hand. You get to sit on Deb's knee. No, okay, not really. All right. All right, okay, we'll swap. All righty. Fantastic. Hey, how are you? It's good to see you.
Thanks.
Let's give him another hand. Woo! Yes, yes. Pete will be signing books after service today.
I'll be here till 12:30 down the back. Any autographs?
Yeah. Signing CDs, resources, things like that.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
They're not worth anything.
So we're going to conduct an interview today around our theme of Thanksgiving. And I wanted to begin by just asking you, Deb, how long have you been coming to Gateway Life Church for? And how did you hear about us?
Holly and I have been coming to Gateway, which was Northgate back then, since 2011, August 2011. And how we found out about it was that I think the story goes that Holly and Holly were in detention at St. John's.
No way.
Together.
Holly never told us about this.
Well, Holly.
Yeah.
You can come and stay at my house.
Talk about this later.
When they kick you out, it's all good.
We've
got a bed for you.
We will deal with her bountifully.
No, it's okay. You leave her alone.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the story. So they were in detention together and they got to know each other. And my Holly, heard about that Holly's dad and mum were pastors of a church and everything like that. So, which we'll get onto the story of how we come to church through that. So Holly started to come to kids' church back then and then started youth group the year after, I think. And Dan brought her up and whipped her into line.
Dan Lee Worthy.
Showed her the love of Jesus and all of that.
That's my son-in-law.
That is.
Yeah.
I know. We're all connected.
Mm.
So that's how we
got
here.
Wow, what year was that?
That was August 2011.
August?
2011.
Okay,
2011.
Okay.
Yep.
And so,
sorry,
really,
it was wrong language.
Yeah, that's okay. So Holly heard about Gateway Life Church through the youth ministry. Let's give it up for youth ministry.
Woo!
Wow. I just want to highlight that if it weren't for our youth ministry and Dan leading the way back in that season,
we wouldn't be having
this conversation today. Praise God for youth ministry.
Love you, Dan.
Praise God for kids ministry. That's fantastic. Thank you, Deb. What a great story. What a great beginning. Pete, tell us a little bit about yourself, because there would be many here who don't know where you were born and things like that. And also tell us a little bit about what family life growing up was like for you. And when did you move to Albury?
Yeah, well, I was born in Melbourne and we moved to... I was born in hospital,
the
actually.
The congregation are looking at your
in
photos.
Hospital.
He hasn't changed a bit, has he?
And, moved up to Albury in... Oh, Dad moved up here in about 75 and I think we moved a few years after that.
Okay, yeah. Yep. So 75. And what was family life like growing up for you?
Yeah, family life was good. We had a good upbringing. I've got two sisters and another brother.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and we learnt the values of married life, I suppose, through mum and dad.
Great.
So, yeah, learnt how to respect
fantastic.
People and treat people.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
Cool.
What about you, Deb? Like, where were you born? And likewise, tell us what family life was like growing up for you. What was your experience?
Yeah. So this sounds really bad because Pete moved to Albury in 1975. I was born in 1975. That's okay.
That laugh. Laughs like a hyena.
Hyena laugh. This is the beautiful me. I love that photo. There's so many beautiful, and that's why I brought the tissues. I haven't even started yet and I'm crying. Oh, there's so many beautiful memories in that photo. Anyway, back to it so I don't cry. So I was born in 1975. I know, like, I don't look that old, but I am. So my family life was completely different to Pete's. Everyone
Even my mum. My mum's here. I love you, mum.
Give it up for mum. Hello, mum.
Even, God bless you, mum. Even my mum knows I cry all the time. Sorry that I have to look down, but there's lots of things I want to say and I don't want to forget. So although I did have a lot of love, there was also a lot of pain and confusion and definitely misconceptions in what love and respect were and how to show love and respect. So whilst growing up, my two brothers and two sisters and I were exposed to hearing. Sorry.
It's okay.
Hearing and seeing my mum being physically abused by my dad. This happened on many occasions, and most of the time it was because my father was drunk. My father was an alcoholic and it seemed to consume his life. I'm sure that he didn't mean to be a bad person. It was just like the addiction just consumed him and he lost everything and he lost his family. I remember a time when I was quite young where my mum was being abused by my father. My older brother stepped in to stop him hitting her. And I think he got pushed to the floor. Sorry. When I was writing this, I didn't even cry. So this is... He got pushed to the floor and my father kicked him in the eye. It's okay. Thank you. That was the day that I vowed that no man would ever have the opportunity to do that to me, to hit me. If he ever raised a hand to me, then I was done with him and I would just go. Mum and Dad eventually separated and got divorced. Mum was amazing and did the best she could being a single mum of five kids. She went without so we could have what we needed to survive. I was extremely lucky. I think the next photo maybe. I was extremely lucky to have very loving grandparents. Strangely enough, they were my dad's parents. So my mum's mum passed away when she was quite young. My mum was eight, and I think her dad disappeared, so we didn't have any off mum's side of the family. So this is my pop. So I will admit that I was a poppy's girl, and I will always be my poppy's girl. He loved me unconditionally, believed in me, encouraged me, and believed I could conquer all I set my mind to. He passed away in 1999, so Holly has never met my side of the family, her one and only grandparents. So this is, I'll just explain this photo because some people might think it's weird. This is Holly's dad when we got married. And on the morning that we were getting married, Pop was well all coming up to that. Pop got diagnosed with cancer years and years before, but he was well. And then on the morning that we were getting married, he became unwell and Nan had to call the ambulance and he went to hospital. So Pop was meant to walk me down the aisle. So I had to deal with all of that on my wedding day as well. So immediately after the ceremony, we went to the hospital and I think we maybe even done another like little ceremony for him there so that he felt a part of it. So, yeah. So yeah, he just means the world to me. So when I was about 8 years of age, I went and lived with my Nan and Pop. This was where I got to experience a different type of family and how to see how two people should treat each other with love and respect unconditionally. Whilst I did get this amazing opportunity, I was also left with feelings inside of abandonment, uncertainty, trust issues, and wondering who or what would leave me next. Remember, I was only 8 to 10 years of age. Again, I know my mum did the best she could, and we both believed that this was the best opportunity for me in life. I also felt it would be easier for mum, because I was Poppy's girl, it would be easier for mum if I went to live with Nan and Pop so she could focus on bringing up the other four kids. I guess I knew I would always be okay. Life goes on. So even with all the not so good memories of my childhood, I am extremely grateful and thankful for the childhood that I have been given. So what, even though I have tears today, what got me through and what gets me through looking back on all of that is that I'm so thankful for just getting through it. I'm so thankful that Mum allowed me to go and live with Nan and Pop, even though it was hard. I'm so thankful that I had two people that loved me unconditionally. So I guess, and this isn't written, so I left spots for the Holy Spirit to speak. So I guess for us as you guys out there, just to look at the circumstance that we're in is not the worst circumstance ever. If we just focus on what we're going through, then that becomes the whole world. God loves us so much that He will turn anything around for a testimony, and He will turn your life around for a blessing if you don't stay stuck in that spot. So it would have been quite easy for me to stay stuck. Mum and Dad separated, Dad bashed my mum, all men suck, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it would have been quite easy for me to stay like that, but we have to believe that that's not what God wants for us. We just have to believe that. Like, and even back then, in that photo, yes, I was a Christian, but before all of that, when all this was happening to Mum and that, we didn't know God, but there was always something inside that I just believed that I was different. I believed that I was going to change circumstances and change the world. I know that sounds a bit fairy, but
great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So Deb, for a tender-hearted little girl, it's a really rough start, but thank you. Let's give her a hand for sharing so courageously. So Deb, what year did you move to Albury, and what were the reasons for doing so?
Yeah. So I moved back to Albury in 2002. I was living in Melbourne with Holly's dad for a short period. So I think we were there for about 6 months. So before that, when I met him, I was living at Bensdale with my Nan and Pop. We started to have marriage troubles when we were at Bensdale. We got lots of different advice from people, but I know that moving to Melbourne was the first step of my way out. So I actually have a Bible verse, but I'll find it later. Or you can write it down and look at it later. It's Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. I can't remember it off the top of my head. So when we moved to Melbourne, I was exposed to a lot of emotional abuse and manipulation. So remember earlier when I said, like, you know, when Mum was getting physically abused, that I would never let that happen to me. So I wasn't prepared for emotional abuse. I was ready for the, you hit me, I'm out of here. I wasn't prepared for someone to put you down, to make you not feel like you're worthy, to make you feel like you're doing a bad job being a mum and all of that. So I didn't know what to do. I felt low, so I went from feeling so loved with my pop. So I felt low, I felt like I wasn't worthy, I felt just in so much turmoil, not really wondering how to get out, but knew that I had to get out. So my nan come to visit one day, one year, I mean, when this was happening, She witnessed Ben emotionally abusing me. She witnessed how manipulating he was. And she actually pulled me aside and she said to me that this is not how you should be treated. You deserve better than this. You deserve to be treated better than this. She said, you've lost your bubbly personality. So back when there was that photo of me and there was the happy birthday bubbles, that's what I was. I think I was born smiling. I was always smiling. I was always making a joke. I was always, like, as they would say, the life of the party. Like, and sure. I know, like, you know, when Holly walks into the room, people say you just light up the room. Like, that was me as well. But I had lost that. So I'd lost my bubbly self, and it was, and Nan could see that it was breaking her heart. She said to me, the person you were, you are not the person you were designed and destined to be. You need to go and you need to take Holly and you need to go. So remember, I had no money. I didn't know how I was going to get out. Holly was one year old or a little bit older than that. So I wasn't working. I had no money. Nan was on a pension. So she said, I'll fill your car up with petrol. I'll give you all the money that I have. You just need to get in the car and you just need to drive back to your mum.
So in that moment, okay, so tell us about how you and Pete met. So you've come back to Albury. Yep. So how did you meet and under what circumstances?
We met, well, it was about when Holly was about 18 months old, we met.
Uh-huh.
Well, Deb and Holly were living with a good friend of ours, and someone had said that Deb and Holly were sleeping on the floor.
So you heard that they were sleeping on the floor?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I just went around to the shed, around to Dad's, got a couple of mattresses, took them back to Phil's house where they were staying, and, yeah, went from there.
So you didn't know them?
Didn't know them, no.
You just heard of a need and decided to meet it?
Yeah,
That's the kind of guy you are, Pete. Wow. Okay, so you didn't know Deb, you didn't know Holly, but you met this need. What happened next between you guys? You obviously kept in touch.
Yeah, I think we just kept in touch and sort of just, I suppose, just grew closer and closer together.
How long was it before you began to go out when it was official?
Yeah. Good question.
When people started saying you're official.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that long, was it? Probably you know, six months something like that, maybe.
Oh, you're a quick mover, Pete.
Yeah, oh, don't muck around.
Yeah.
You can't afford to muck around.
Excuse me, I was his first and only girlfriend. No, that's not very quick. He was 35.
That's quick.
That's not very quick.
And there was a bit of age.
Yeah, but I remember back in my BC days before Christ, I remember seeing Pete up at the Labby Sports Club.
Well, yeah, third pole on the right.
Leaning against a pole with his foot on it this.
Yeah. So I had to move.
Were the girls lining up?
Yes. So share with us, for a few moments, share with us just your journey. So obviously 6 months later you're official. How much later was it before you got married?
Oh, that would have been a little bit longer. So, of course, because I had to deal with all the other stuff that I was going through, I had to make sure that Pete was not going to do what Holly's dad did. So that was on the 31st of December 2005. So I think we started dating in 2000.
There's your wedding photos on the screen. So you got married on what date again? What was the
date? New Year's Eve 2005.
Fantastic. What a great way to celebrate New Year's Eve. But then things got a little bit rocky.
Oh, well, I don't really know, like, where it went wrong. So I guess, like, things were going really good. And then I think, like, around 2010, so 5, 6 years after we got married, I started to doubt, I guess, my worth. And then in 2011, we separated.
How long did you separate for?
Yeah, it was 2 years.
separated.
It was
roughly two years.
Yeah.
And by this time, you're coming to church.
Yep.
Yeah. So now you've connected to Gateway Life Church.
So I started coming when we were separated. It was, I think, it was the 20th or in around then, August 2011. I came because Holly was starting high school, I think the next year or the year after or something, and I wanted her to be okay. So I used to go to Sunday school when I was in Bensdale, separated from Holly's dad, got very angry with God and stopped going. But I had her in St. John's Lutheran school. I always made sure that she had some godly input. So she wanted to go to Murray High School. I was like, oh, I haven't heard such good things about that school. So I wanted an input into her as a youth. So that's when she said, oh, I know this girl that I go to school with. Her mum and dad run Northgate Church at that time. God was working through Holly back then, even though we weren't Christian, because he knew that the type of mum that I was, I would have to go with her to check it out. So I would not just drop her off at the door. I would go with her and check it out. I didn't know anybody. The only person I knew was my own daughter. So I walk in, I sit down. We do worship. It was all done like what we do now. Next minute, Holly goes, Mum, I'm going upstairs. And I was like, what? Like, here I am sitting here by myself. And I'm trying to be really quick, but it was very powerful. So Holly goes upstairs, and I remember exactly what Pastor Jace was talking about that day. And he was talking about the paralyzed man on the mat and being carried by four people just to get closer to Jesus. And Pastor Jace was saying, it's okay to allow other people to carry you. You don't have to do it by yourself, everything like that. And then I wasn't even worried that Holly was gone. I thought there was no one else there. I thought Pastor Jace was just talking to me. Like, you know, I didn't realise that anyone else was around. And that is the day that I believe, even though I went to Sunday school, that's the day that I count that I gave my heart to Jesus.
Wow. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. That's fantastic. And so, Deb, so obviously, you know, you and Pete have separated. You're just working stuff out. And then God, I remember you telling me God said to you to go to Pete, to go to him. And what did you have to ask him?
I had to ask him if we could start dating again.
And what did Pete say?
what did you say?
Well, this was a couple of times she had asked, and I'd sort of said, didn't actually say no. I think my words were, I'm pretty good at the moment. I'm pretty right at the moment.
I'm pretty good at the moment.
I'm all right. I'm pretty good at the moment.
Because I suppose I was just sort of living the single life a bit, I suppose. Not to say I was doing anything wrong.
Tell us what you mean, Pete. It's a safe place.
Basically, she asked. She had asked three times.
Okay, so she asked once, twice, then God said to go again. That takes some courage. And then what did Pete say? Because you've been rejected most of your life.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you've gone a third time. What did he say?
Yeah. So he said yes. But each time he said no, I was saying to Pastor Jace the other day when we were talking about it, because yes, been rejected like all of my life up until then. Each time he said no, I felt like my heart was getting ripped out again. So that was twice. So I'm just like, God, like, what do you, like, what's going on? And he said, ask him one more time. So Pete never knew this, but if Pete had have said no, then I was okay. I was happy with then having another marriage fail, but I was going to live for God. So through all of that, I was still serving God. I was running kids ministry and everything like
that. So Pete said yes.
Woohoo.
It was a good yes.
That was a good
Look
yes.
Look what was on the other side of your yes.
Yes.
Because yes. And of course, Pete then started coming along to church. And then what happened? What was the? We had a worship night here one Sunday night, and Pete, share with us what happened that night.
Yeah, that's.
What was the date? Can you recall the date?
No, I think it was around. Oh, I don't know about the date. I think it was 2016 or something.
Yeah, September, I think
it was.
2016. Yeah. Anyway, so, tell us what
that
happened.
That was pretty powerful for me, and it just sort of stirred up something inside. So I needed to, you know, obviously step out of my comfort zone a bit and step up a little bit and be more and trust in God, you know.
Yeah.
And be more, you know, learn more, I suppose. Yeah.
And it was that night that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ.
Pretty powerful, yeah.
It was that night.
Yeah.
And I remember the Holy Spirit called you out, that it was time to come to Him. We got Deb and Holly, and there's the three of you all together embraced, bawling your eyes out as you gave your heart to the Lord. And then you got water baptized. Let's go to the screen. Look at that.
I don't know about the water baptism's got to do with the hamburger, but anyway.
The hamburger?
At this point.
Well, you were very hungry after the baptism.
And coffee. And coffee.
You were hungry.
He's always hungry.
Yeah. So what was... So there's some photos on the screen of you being water baptized. You look so happy, Pete.
Yep.
In every photo, you look so happy. Yep. But what's happening in that moment there when Rick, Lee Worthy and Mark Waite water baptized you that day?
I suppose it was just a new chapter in life, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fresh start.
Did it feel fresh?
Know? Yeah.
Did you feel clean?
Yeah, cold, bit cold. We'll get past that.
That's fantastic. So God has done such a lot in your life, and you're a great testimony, I believe, to God's faithfulness, God's call upon your life. Is there a particular passage of Scripture about Thanksgiving which best describes what it is that God has done in your life? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I'll just find it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks.
Yeah, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
So why does that passage mean so much to you? And what do you think we as a congregation could get out of that?
So for me, that means that through everything, to be joyful, to be that bubbly personality, to know who I am in Christ, to know the person that He made me to be, the bubbly, joyful person, and to be that in every situation that's going on, through the good times and the bad times, be that, but to also continually pray to Him every day when things are tough in your marriage, everything like that, pray, read your Bible, and just to continue to serve Him, just give your whole heart to Him, yeah.
You know what I think, Deb? I think you're a very strong person.
Yeah.
You're very resilient, and you've done most of your life afraid, and that's what makes you a courageous person. You're very resilient. You have a great ability to bounce back. You might, you know, at times drop your bundle from time to time, as we all can, and hang the head low, but you bounce back. You're like a super ball. The harder you hit the ground, the further you rise. And Pete, you, mate, you're just like clockwork. You're just fantastic. Gateway Life Church would not be the same without Mr. and Mrs. Pete Walters. And Holly.
About the back.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.